Thank you, Sister Lisa, for sharing your gifts with us and lifting up the name of the Lord through song this morning. Any word of testimony, anything on your hearts before we get to the word this morning? If you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn with me to the 100th Psalm, right after the book of Job, right before the book of Proverbs. The 100th Psalm is where I'm going to read from this morning. Someone came in this morning and they asked me how I was doing after I asked them how they were doing, and I said, I'm doing great. I said, I'm ready to worship. I'm ready to go. Let's go. And I said that to somebody else just before church service, and they were trying to decide if it was a one-mint, two-mint, or three-mint sermon. Now, see, I learn something all the time. I got all kind of gauges on me here, and so I don't know, but you did hear the joke about the preacher. I don't tell jokes very well, but I think Brother Massey said there was a preacher one time that he used to put a mint in his mouth, and when the mint was done, he quit preaching. Well, one day he just preached and preached and preached, and he realized he put a button in his mouth instead of a mint. So I don't put mints in my mouth or buttons, so we should be good. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter ye into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That's reading the entire chapter, five verses, in the 100th Psalm. A couple pages before that, or maybe one, I'm going to take my text verse from Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 1. And this is what we find recorded. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. My thought for a few moments of time this morning is thanks and praise unto the Lord. And during the Thanksgiving holiday, we focus on our blessings, and we make an effort to express our gratitude to God for them. And we should. We should do that. But the truth is, thanks to God, it should be on our lips daily. Every day, thanksgiving should be given unto the Lord for so many reasons. And when thanksgiving becomes an important and a central part of our lives, we find that our attitude toward life changes. And we become more positive. We become more gracious. We become more loving. We're humbler when we, on a regular basis, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, my wife, Dawn, she is big on lists. She's got lists for everything. And part of that is because neither one of us can rely on our memories like we once did. And I think that's because of that A-G-I-N-G thing that her and I are experiencing. So she'll have a list for this Thanksgiving. And do you ever make a list for Thanksgiving, some of you ladies? I'm probably sure that you all do. If you do, your list probably might be something like this. It might be turkey, check. Or maybe ham, check. Dumplings, check. I don't know, green beans, check. Cranberry sauce, check. Maybe pumpkin pie with a lot of whipped cream, check. Maybe it might be Pepto-Bismol and Tums, check. You know, you got to make sure that you get everything that you need, and it's fine. You don't want to forget anything, hence you make the list. But here's another list, maybe a better list for Thanksgiving. Loving family, check. Good friends, check. Roof over our head, check. Food on our table, check. Clothes on our backs, check. A church who loves me, check. That's the kind of Thanksgiving list that we should be thankful for right there. And I'm sure I could have added many other things. A list of people and things that you are glad to have in your life. And things that cause you to be thankful to God because He has blessed you. I said last week, as I brought my message, that I wanted to encourage us leading up to Thanksgiving to focus on the context of giving thanks. And I want us to move beyond the superficial. I want us to really see what's real and what we really need to be thankful for. And we are to be, and we should be, thankful to God for all things. Why? Because the Bible tells us that every good thing that we have, it comes from the Lord. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, James said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and that it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So too often, I think sometimes we get hung up on the stuff, and we forget about the source. We forget about where the stuff comes from that makes us so thankful. And I want to add to our checklist of things to be thankful for an item that I think that should probably go to the very top of our list. And this Thanksgiving, how about thanking God for being God? How about doing that? I wonder, have you ever thought about that? Is there even a reason to give thanks to God for being God? This 100th psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. This 100th psalm is a psalm of praise. I want you to picture a tree. And the first line of verse 3 in my reading in the 100th psalm and the last line of verse 4 of my reading, I want you to picture that as being the trunk of the tree. Verse 3 said, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." The last part of verse 4 said, "Be thankful." In other words, give thanks unto Him and bless or praise His name. The entire psalm is focused on God as God and thanking Him for who He is. The rest of the psalm, of course, is the branches that grow out of the trunk. The branches tell us why it is that we should thank God for being God. And the branches tell us how to thank God for being God. And that's where I'm going in my message today. First, we're going to see why we should give thanks to God for being God. And then I want to spend just a moment talking about how that we should thank God for being God. The scripture tells us that we thank God for being God because He is loving and He is good. Verse 5 tells us, "For the Lord is good. Everything that He does is good because He is good." And God is the standard for good. We always tell people and encourage people to do good. Well, how do you know what to do good is? You look at Jesus. Jesus is the standard of what being good and what doing good is. And we see in the Lord His grace. God's grace is good. We are the recipients of His unmerited, and kids, that means undeserved. We are the recipients of God's unmerited or undeserved favor and His unconditional love that He has shown to each and every one of us. God's grace is good. God's mercy, it's good. Because of His compassion, every human being has an opportunity to escape the final judgment of sin that everyone deserves. Peter expressed it in terms that I think we can easily understand. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, But it tells us there that the Lord is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, I want you to realize that the Lord wants you to be saved. He wants to save you, but you have to want to be saved first. You have to want to receive the mercy and the grace that God has and that He's extended to those that are round about Him. The Lord is good, and God's love, it's good. His affection, His care extends to everyone. It doesn't matter, you know, who you are. John 3:16 expresses it perfectly. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's everybody. Everybody in the world. He expressed His love through the sacrifice of His very own Son. God loves us, and He has mercy, and He has grace for us. That's because that He is good. Is that not a reason to thank God for being God? Brothers and sisters, we need to thank God for being God because He is faithful. He is faithful. Verse 5 in our reading said, His truth, in other words, His faithfulness, endureth to all generations. This means that the Lord, He's dedicated. It means that the Lord, He is committed. He is faithful to every word that He has said in this book. He's faithful to every word that's in the book of that we have before us. In other words, what He says, He means. You don't ever have to question what the Lord has said in His word. If He has made a promise, you can be assured that that promise is going to come to pass. If He has given you guidance, you can be sure that if you'll take the guidance that the Lord gives through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you can be assured that the outcome is going to be good. He's faithful, and He means everything that He says. Endureth His truth, endureth to all generations. But here's the thing. For His truth to endure to all generations, His truth has to be expressed to every generation. How does that happen? Well, we know we walk past it every Sunday or Wednesday when we come in our church. Our church covenant is huge and on that side of the wall. And our church covenant very clearly says that we are to engage to maintain family devotions, and it also says to religiously educate our children. I wonder today, is your home holding family devotions at any time, on any day, of any week, of any month? I wonder this morning what kind of religious education your children are receiving. Are they attending Sunday school? Are they attending Wednesday night youth services that are being held? Here's the danger. The danger is recorded in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. In other words, they died. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He hath done for Israel. That happened because the next generation didn't follow God. Now, when we think about this scripture, the generation that followed Joshua soon began to fail God. It took just a few years for the children of Joshua's generation to ignore the instructions of their godly parents, because the godly parents' example died with them and was buried with them. And the memory and the instructions of godliness, the great works of God among Joshua's generation, faded in the memory of their children. The scripture said they no longer knew. They no longer acknowledged God. They ignored or they forgot His wonderful works. That's some serious, sobering thoughts to think about that in our day and age. Certainly the church needs to live up to its responsibility to you and to your family. We have a responsibility, and I believe that Crossroads is living up to that. We're providing Sunday school, and we're providing Wednesday night services and the worship services that we meet in to share and instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. But the truth sometimes is hard to take, because the truth of God's Word says that the greatest responsibility for this task does not rest on the shoulders of the church, but the greatest responsibility belongs to the family. Why? Why does it belong to the family? Because children learn much by example, and they're around the family. They're around parents and other siblings more than they're around the church. I guess what I'm trying to say this morning is faith needs to be a family matter. And I wonder this morning, what will your next generation do with the Lord? That's a sobering thought. In Sunday school, many times we talk about when the Lord comes back, that His church will still be here. And some have often says, well, I hope it's Crossroads Church. We don't know if it'll be Crossroads Church or not. What will it depend on? I think in part it will depend on the future generations that are here before the Lord comes back, and how much that they think about the Lord, and how much the Lord is a part of and involved in their lives. Amen. We need to teach our children that God is always reliable. We need to teach them that the Lord is consistent. Our God is a God who can always be counted on to always be as He is. He doesn't change. The Scriptures tells us that in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that not a reason to thank God for being God? We thank God for being God because He's faithful. We thank God for being God because He made us. Verse 3 of my scripture reading in Psalms. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. How did we get here? How did we get into this world? Yeah, I know there's a biology behind all of that, and I'm certainly not going to get into that this morning. But we never would have happened if it hadn't been for God. God wanted you and me to exist. He wants us to live life to the fullest in the Lord. He told us in John chapter 10 and verse 10, He said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Is that not a reason for us to thank God for being God? Because He made us. Listen, God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God created us with purpose that we might worship and serve Him, and that we might fulfill His will and the commands that He gives us in Scripture. We thank God for being God because He is God. Now, I realize this morning by the world standards, there are many gods, small g. Many gods, small g. There are many things that the people have placed of greater importance in their life than the true and living God with a capital G. We understand that. We know that. We as Christian people, we even have to be on guard. We have to have our barriers up to prevent the other things of the world from taking away from our worship and thanks and praise unto the true and living God with a capital G. He is God alone, and there is no other God like Him. We should at all times be mindful of the omnipotence of God. We should at all times be aware of the omnipresence of God. We should at all times be aware of the omniscience of God. He is all-powerful. He's all-seeing. He's all-knowing. He is the Creator. And He is the Sustainer. I'm thankful this morning that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm thankful this morning that He is the great I Am. Our God is good, and our God is loving, and He is full of mercy, and He is full of grace. Is that not a reason to thank God for being God? So, that's some reasons, I think, why we should give thanks to God. Now, how can we best express this thanksgiving unto the Lord? Well, let's go back to the Scripture. Verse 1 and 2 of my Scripture reading tells us that we can thank God with singing. We can thank the Lord with gladness. We can thank the Lord with joy. If there's anything Christians should be, it is that we should be full of joy. We should be full of joy. You hear me say all the time, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. Why? We know where we're going to end up. We know that we're going to the portals of glory. We know that we've got a mansion prepared for us. We're going to see Jesus face to face. We're going to receive whatever crowns and rewards for the things that we've done in this life that matter to the Lord. We should be joyful and we should be happy as a result of that, because we have a God who is gracious, and we have a God who is loving, and we have a God who is merciful. And again, as I said earlier, none of us deserve it. We don't deserve it, but because He loves us that much, we should be full of joy. We should not let anything rob us of the joy that we have. I believe this morning, brothers and sisters, we ought to be shouting with joy because of the joy that we have in our hearts. We ought to be singing out loud as we worship and we praise the Lord. We ought to be glad that we have a God and that He has us. You ever think of that? I've got a God, but He's got me. And I'm glad this morning that there's nothing that can pluck me out of the hand of God, aren't you? I'm thankful for my God, and I'm thankful for the relationship that I have with Him. Verse 4 of our scripture reading said that we should enter His courts with praise. Praise means that we should enter His courts with worship. We should enter His courts with glory. We should enter His courts with honor. We should exalt and we should magnify the Lord. Oh, we should testify of what He means to us. And we should extol His greatness and His holiness. We should celebrate His existence. And we should celebrate His being. My desire is, as Thanksgiving closes in on us, that we'll be mindful of the ways in which we can give thanks unto the Lord. That fourth verse again, and this is what we ought to be doing. As this Thanksgiving gathers around, we gather around our tables. He said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. To me, that's pretty much all-encompassing, isn't it? And I might add that this is not just words of thanksgiving. These are not just words of thanksgiving, but what we have before us this morning is an attitude of thanksgiving. So we not only need to have the words, but we need to have the right attitude of thanksgiving. What I'm saying is this here is a heart position. It's a constant thanks to our God because He is God. Amen? Amen. I think sometimes we get complacent. I think sometimes we forget about Almighty God and what He's done for us, what He's capable of. You know, in Joshua's generation back then, not only did they, a generation arise that knew not God, but it says they forgot about all of His wondrous works. We should never forget about the wondrous works of God. This book is filled with the wondrous works of God, not only that transpired in history, because we're here today for the faithful brothers and sisters who were thankful for God being God and tried to live their lives and pass this truth on to another generation, and now we got it. And we can be thankful too that we got it. I'm glad that we have this place that we assembled here this morning. In other countries, they got to meet in houses and in caves and other places so that they don't suffer persecution. We didn't have to worry about that. Yeah, we got a door that needs to be replaced. We'll replace the door. But it didn't prohibit us from gathering here today to worship Almighty God. And what a blessing that it is for us to be here. I'm thankful for our forefathers. I'm thankful for those. You know, Crossroads Church has a great history. 1849, and here we are today still upholding the banner of God. And your memories could go way back farther than mine. Mine only can go back as long as I've been here. But there have been faithful brothers and sisters who have passed from this life since I've been here as your pastor. And it's because of them and their efforts and their love for the Lord, for being thankful that God is God, that you and I are here today. And I got to be honest with you, I feel the weight of the responsibility often, because I know that I'm in this generation. And the next generation is on me. You know, if we expect there to be anybody to unlock the doors, if we expect for there to be anybody to attend churches, our church, if we expect to have a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a Wednesday night service, the next generation is going to have the desire and the will and the love for the Lord to be able to do that. So I feel a burden on my shoulders to make sure that I try to reach the next generation and tell them that God loves them and their life will be better if they'll serve the Lord and be obedient to the Lord and let the Lord be in their life. There's all kinds of problems in the world today, but I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier if the Lord is on your side. It's a whole lot easier if you have a relationship with the Lord. It's a whole lot easier if you've been saved by grace through faith, by the mercy of God that was extended to us through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus. It's a lot easier. I could go on and on about things that we need to be thankful for, and not only things we need to be thankful for, but things we need to be concerned about and doing something about. But I'm so glad that God loved me enough to convict me. That's where it started. I was brought to church. I knew about the Lord, but I wasn't one of His. I was lost. But because I had parents who brought me to church, took an interest in my soul, and made sure that I had opportunity to hear the gospel, that burden and that conviction one day struck my heart. And I was aware that I was lost. And I know, I don't know the hearts of each one that's here today, but that's how God's plan of salvation works. The word goes forth, the Holy Spirit of God pricks the heart or burdens the heart and makes you aware that you need Jesus in your life, that you're separated apart from Him because of sin. And you come to an understanding that God loved you so much that He did send His Son. He didn't want any to perish, but He wanted all to come to repentance. And that's by and through the mercy and grace of God. I was just going to end the sermon today and not have an altar call, but I think I want to have one. And so, Brother Myron, if you'd come, I don't know anybody's heart, but I would hate for somebody to be sitting in our congregation right now, burdened because they know they're separated apart from God, burdened because they know they're lost, and me not give them an opportunity. Maybe you've already made up your mind and said, I need to go to the altar. I need to call upon the Lord. I need to be saved. Well, what if I didn't give an altar call? You might have walked out those doors and went home. Even though I tell you all the time, this altar is always open. Anybody can come to the altar at any time. But you know, sometimes we just need to be invited. And this morning I'm inviting you, if God is dealing with your heart, to come, talk to the Lord, trust in Him. The promise of God is He'll save your soul. Brother Myron. Let's stand together.